time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Tuesday. We're rolling along. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant with us. As always, Sean Mapes behind the glass. As always, we got a hell of a team here, Vanessa and Gallant, from 10 to noon.
But do you trust me now?
It's getting there.
Okay.
We are getting there.
Serious progress in 2 weeks.
For somebody that I do trust. Hi, Sean. How are you? See,
but then you do
How's
that.
How's everything going?
What's up, Vanessa?
Hi.
Not going to say hi to me, Sean?
How's it going, Paul?
Wow. I mean,
nice shirt.
Thank you. Someone noticed.
Oh, is it new?
No, it's just something. It's a shirt I've had for
a
while.
I will say this is actually a really cool Seahawks shirt.
Throwback shirt.
But yes. I love the colors. John and Lance in College Station was fun. We're going to play some of their interview with Jimbo Fisher later.
Jimbo.
But we start with the announcement that a legend is soon to retire. Serena Williams tweeted out a Vogue cover photo article that they were able to keep under wraps until now. She looks absolutely gorgeous, and she said that she will retire after the U.S. Open. 73 singles titles, 23 Grand Slam singles.
Damn, 73?
14 Grand Slam
Holy
doubles,
crap.
Four Olympic gold medals, and $94 million in prize money. Well done, Serena.
That's pretty impressive. I looked up her championships, and I just looked up the majors, and it's 23. Did you know how she won her last major?
What's that?
She was, get this, 8 weeks pregnant.
It's insane.
I mean.
And I remember this because she later talked about she was actually like experiencing morning sickness and all of that.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not like pregnancy's that difficult. All us guys know
Here
it.
We go.
You know, it's like a tummy ache. But yeah, that she won while pregnant is insane. That's also the last major she won back in 2017.
Yeah, that's true. I think her daughter is three or four now. But that is the reason she is retiring. She actually said that she is wanting to expand her family and it's time to focus on being a mom. But she's certainly somebody that between her and her sister and their dad just completely changed the game, kind of changed the narrative in some ways of black parents involved in sports. That's well documented in the movie with Will Smith. So,
did you watch the movie with Will Smith?
Yeah, I did. I liked it.
Okay. I haven't watched it. I can't get past the slap.
Well, I think... Okay, so it's important to note that it is a movie specifically focusing on the dad.
Gotcha.
You know, so obviously the girls are in it and it's involved.
Seems like it would be kind of boring based off of that, but again, I haven't seen it.
Again, it's fine. It's not. I didn't see it and think I need to see this movie again.
Did he say tell the truth in it, like in the concussion movie?
Serena Williams, a legend, and will retire, so she says, after the U.S. Open. The number that stands out to me, because this is, you know, America and we're greedy, $94 million in prize money. That is not getting into all of the ads, sponsorships. She really changed the game for women in sports and how much money they can make in the threshold of that. So she changed the game in a lot of ways.
She's clearly the best lady athlete of all time.
Lady athlete.
Right? Time.
Yep.
Time. Say lady athlete of all time. Yeah, I don't think it's debatable. It's pretty amazing to be, like, definitively the best at your sex at just sport. Because I think with all that winning that she did, and also just having, like, an older sister who is also a pretty damn good athlete in herself, really impressive. And I'm trying to think, is there another athlete that has that wide of a gap between them and the next best?
That's a great question. I think a lot of people might have said Michael Jordan back in the day.
But I feel like you can at the very least make an argument that LeBron is close-ish. I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, with LeBron. And I'm like that very often with whenever I hear him talk about things. But I don't know that it's laps ahead. I would love to say that about my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. But I also admit that he was on some really good teams over the course of his career. And that from an athletic standpoint, there are other quarterbacks historically that you would look at and say, oh, well, I mean, if that guy's in that situation, are we talking about a totally different story here? Baseball, it's tricky because the gap might have been widened in a certain era by guys sticking needles in their ass. So I can't think of an athlete like Serena Williams, who was just so much better than everybody else, let alone every other athlete in different sports of her sex.
She also handled different criticisms and situations really well, because all eyes were on her at all times. And whenever she would play a Coco Gauff or whatever, you know how competitive she is. She's one of the most, if not the most competitive woman on the planet. And she knew, because the cameras were on and because she's an example, she was always really classy, really kind, even though she had those competitive juices in her. The picture that Vogue tweeted out is really cute. It's her daughter Olympia holding up the end of her dress. And it says, quote, "It's the hardest thing that I could ever imagine. I don't want it to be over, but at the same time, I'm ready for what's next." I think she could do a lot of different things. I think she could obviously have more kids and be a stay-at-home mom, but I think that she could be a commissioner of a league. I think that, you know, ownership groups will look to add her because she's an incredible, you know, woman and is a minority, similar to what we saw with Lewis Hamilton and the Broncos. I just think the sky's the limit for her, even like after tennis.
Isn't she part owner of the Dolphins? I feel like she's involved in that group.
You know what? She and Venus are, I think.
She helps tamper with Tom Brady.
Yeah,
whoa,
there
that's
go.
True. I actually should be smearing her for that.
I'm glad you brought that up. I completely forgot about that. She could be more involved in the NFL. I'd love that.
I mean, Stephen Ross is an idiot, so yes, she should be. Honestly, anyone should be more involved with the Miami Dolphins. The person that I saw panhandling at the intersection, probably a better owner of the Miami Dolphins, because I think that that person wouldn't, I don't know, dabble as much as one Stephen Ross does. I think that they would be very contentious sitting off to the side.
The Astros in action tonight against the Rangers, 7:10 p.m. first pitch. You should watch pre- and post-game.
Who are you on? Yeah,
I am on. The Rangers, third in the AL West. Houston Astros, of course, dominating, so shouldn't be much of a competition, hopefully, knock on wood.
I miss the Rangers being good.
Urquidy on the mound.
In that, I feel like these games just don't matter anymore. Yep. It's a bummer. And look, I mean, for all I know, Texas is going to do what the Oakland A's have done the last couple of times that they've got up against the Astros. But I miss that series having a little zest to it. And the last time I remember it had any spice whatsoever was 2015, where I think the Rangers won the AL West. And this was after their two back-to-back World Series appearances. Was it around then? Or it was a little bit afterwards? No, hang on, because that was like 2011, 2012 or something like that.
But I get your point, which is the Silver Boot Series, which or the Texas, whatever they call it, you would hope that it would have more storylines, more competition. It doesn't feel like a rivalry,
boot.
Right?
Yes.
Competition and rivalry, speaking of which, the Yankees.
Oh, yeah.
Going up against your Mariners.
Oh, that's
shall
true.
Shall we start with Yankees or shall we start with Mariners watch?
Well, yeah, let's start with Mariners
let's
watch
start
first.
With little Mariners
let's,
watch
set,
action.
Let's set the mood.
Mariners watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022, August 9th. Does anything matter anymore? We just got Mitch Haniger back. And he had 3 hits. We still lost. Does it matter? Should we even keep trying? What's the point of all of this?
Eddie Vedder is here.
J.P. Crawford, Cal Raleigh, like at the back of the lineup, they're doing well, but Logan Gilbert goes out there and gets his ass kicked. I mean, what are we doing? Can't even beat the Yankees. Losing all those games in a row. It's depressing. It's sad. And I don't know how we're going to catch the Astros right now. I just feel like I'm not making a difference. Mariners
there you
watch.
Go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Mariners watch.
Yeah, they got their
on
asses
on a Tuesday.
Kicked. They got their asses kicked.
They played the Yankees.
They did. Logan Gilbert only lasted 4 innings, and the Yankees touched him up. And, you know, if we go to the Yankees watch side of things, there's one guy that continues to hit particularly well. And I'm going to be really annoyed if he gets to a substantial place when it comes to the home run chase.
Some Red Sox news, fellas. Oh, you know what? We have to do Yankees watch.
We do.
I'm sorry.
We
I moved on too quickly.
Yankees watch.
Yankees.
2022. So.
Not spreading the news.
I mean, whenever I hear it, though, I just think of insufferable Yankees fans filing to the exit to the Bronx to go back to like their menial lives and their 300 square foot apartment that they're paying
with the rats. I will say I've never been to a Yankees game.
Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, I actually like
it. I want to experience it.
Well, I mean, you know, want me to just get some beer, dump it on you, and, I don't know, yell sexist things at you?
Well, I mean,
you dumb broad.
What you do every Saturday anyway.
Oh! We don't want any ladies here.
What you do when I see you at McIntyre. So.
Well,
I'm kidding.
That's
jokes. Paul's very respectful of women, by the way.
But that makes it sound like that's not even necessarily the case either. Whatever. Hey, Aaron Judge, he hit his 19th double. He hit his 44th home run of the year. So, I mean, there you go. Here is how that sounded.
Judge drills that. Deep center field. Kelnick looking up. It is gone. Number 44 for Aaron Judge. Doing damage in Seattle once again. And the march to history gets a little closer.
He almost went yard in another at-bat, too. That was in the ninth inning. Josh Donaldson, everyone's least favorite baseball player, had a nice night, too. He was 4-for-5. He had a double and a home run of his own. So, yeah, look, the Yankees, that was a nice win for them, considering they have been playing very poorly of late. So now they are a full game ahead of the Astros in the American League.
All right, there you go. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. It's never a good thing when you have to give somebody an ultimatum. Hear which superstar basketball player did that next. But first, let me tell you, football season right around the corner. And I got to tell you about BSR. There's never been a better time to sign up, start winning money. All you have to do is go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now, and you double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? By the way, the Texans over-under set at 4.5 games right now. Are you thinking they're going to win more? Are you a hater and you think they're going to lose every game? How about this, guys? You can still get the Astros at plus 400. So go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. Start placing your bets. Maybe you're more of a roulette or blackjack fan. Whatever. The good news for you is you can do all of it over at BUSR.com/ESPN.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
You could call him the king of petty in the NBA. He is funny on Twitter, but Kevin Durant, per Shams Charania, in a meeting with Nets owner Joe Tsai, Kevin Durant reiterated his trade request and informed Tsai that Tsai needs to choose between Durant or the pairing of general manager Sean Marks and coach Steve Nash, sources say. So Durant said, you better choose. Durant then informed Joe Tsai that he does not have faith in the Nets' direction. The meeting was described as transparent and professional with the clear message, keep me or the GM and coach. Again, that's per Shams.
It is a brilliant strategy from this perspective, from a public relations perspective. What side is going to get more benefit of the doubt, even with the way that things have gone for Durant in Brooklyn? Is it going to be Kevin Durant, one of the best players that we've seen in basketball over the last 20 years, even if he is consistently sniping with randos on social media, like this person who tweeted at him, car wouldn't start this morning, get to work late and our internet's down. LOL, I love it. Unlike Kevin Durant, I actually enjoy taking the hardest road. It's basically just problem-solving practice. Durant retweeted that saying, you enjoy having a terrible car and getting to work and not being able to connect to the internet? It's a good response.
It's a great response. That's why I like Kevin Durant. That's the problem.
But Durant also has not done particularly well in Brooklyn. That said, okay, who is siding with Steve Nash, the coach? Who is siding with, I don't even remember that general manager's name. And you said it 5 seconds
Sean
ago.
Sean Marks.
Yeah. That might be a real person. I can't even tell.
You don't remember? It sounds kind of like Sean Mapes.
But it's not Sean Mapes, and there's too many Seans to remember.
Sean, I would side with you.
Yes, because you trust Sean Mapes, but do you trust Sean Marks? Does anyone trust Joseph Tsai? Durant wins by default by bringing this out into the open.
Don't you hate, though, that we're at the point to where you can have so many years left on your contract and say, choose?
Yes, I absolutely hate it. It's star empowerment. It's not player empowerment. You can't exactly do this if you're somebody that's lower on the totem pole. Let's take a look at Kareem Hunt, we talked about yesterday with the Cleveland
Great
Browns.
Point.
Kareem Hunt requested a trade. They were like, yeah, no. And he's back at practice the next day after his hold-in, which is showing up for practice but not actually practicing. If you're the Nets, you can hold on to him. But with the way that the NBA is, he doesn't have to play, and you still have to pay him.
Josiah did respond on Twitter, at Josiah1999, because apparently he wants to party like it's 1999. He said, quote, "Our front office and coaching staff have my support. We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets." I read that, "our front office and coaching staff have my support," as saying he's on team GM and coach.
Okay, well, I mean, good luck with that, right?
I mean, am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah.
Because he would say Durant. He didn't say players have my support. He said front office and coaching staff.
It's a lame way to respond to an ultimatum. But, I mean, ultimately, what does Durant even do? What can he do other than just not play, which will make him look bad? And if he does care about the way he'll be perceived 10 to 15 years from now, which he will say he doesn't, but he clearly does with how much he lives online, this doesn't help them. This was what I thought Russell Wilson was too scared to do in Seattle, which was to sit out games to force his way out of town. And the Seahawks
instead he gave us top four destinations.
Right. And by the way, the Seahawks just did it, which maybe they were just so sick of dealing with him. But I don't know if you're the owner of the Nets, are you so sick of Kevin Durant that you want to get rid of him? Kyrie Irving, yes. James Harden, yes. This... I don't know if Durant can really do anything other than not play. And if I'm the Nets, I see no reason to trade Durant.
Ultimatums are never a good thing. Have you guys ever given or been given an ultimatum?
I mean, by your parents, but those don't really count.
Yeah, nah. I'm thinking right? more relationships.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been given a ton by my mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, your parents are supposed to give you ultimatums. Yeah. What about relationships?
But no, never. I don't think in a relationship.
No, not really. Because if you're familiar with me, like my longest relationship has been 5 months. So
wait, is that a real thing?
Yeah, and that was like 2015. Oh yeah.
Oh, you're being serious.
Yeah, I'm being serious.
Oh, I thought you were serious. Kidding.
Yeah,
that's fine. My longest one was 2 years in high school. Little puppy love action.
You can judge away with mine too, because
no.
I think it is kind of weird that that's the longest
it's
relationship
actually
I've
not
ever
weird
been in
because.
But doesn't explain so much.
Okay. You said it, not me. But my longest relationship was in high school, so a lot of people would say that doesn't count.
Okay.
Since then, I've had a little 3 month, and another 3 month. Damn, that's so bad.
I actually, at the end, I gave her an ultimatum. I said, look, you were mean to me for no reason.
Yeah.
And either we talk this out, or you keep doing this, and I'm just... going to assume that I should move on. And she didn't respond for 6 days. Then I got on the apps. She found out immediately somehow. And I said, I didn't hear from you. I assumed you ghosted me. So then we actually had like a cordial, polite breakup conversation and stuff. But yeah, I've given an ultimatum, but I've never had an ultimatum given to me. And I don't think I would handle an ultimatum very well. I would kind of be like, eh, bleep off.
It seems extreme. I remember I did say one time to a guy, the last little, you know, thing that I had where the communication got really bad. And obviously I'm big on communicating because I always say what's on my mind and I do so in usually an efficient manner. And so I just told him like, if the communication doesn't improve, I don't see this going anywhere. But it wasn't like a dramatic, if you don't call me, that kind of thing. So I don't know if I've ever given a strong one.
Paul saying that he wouldn't react to an ultimatum very well is Paul knowing himself very well.
There you go.
I cannot imagine someone giving you an ultimatum and you being like, you know what? All right.
I am stubborn, and there are situations where I'm self-aware to know that I need to change certain behavior if it's called out, but I also am generally aware of all the dumb stuff I do as it is, so I don't really need further reminders of it.
And the ultimatums, like this segment started with ultimatums never working out.
They don't.
And much like the Brooklyn Nets, like already bad stuff has already happened and are going to happen.
Yep.
Before and after the ultimatum. So the ultimatum is not like... It's a symptom of how bad things are. It doesn't actually cause it to end poorly.
It's a product of impatience, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, are you talking about Kevin Durant or ultimatums in general?
Durant specifically.
Right, right.
But I think that a lot of ultimatums are, you aren't changing quickly enough for me. I don't think you will change at all.
Right. I'm also just anti-trying to get people to change. Like, let people do what they want to do.
Okay.
But with Kevin Durant, it's not that simple because he is an NBA basketball player under contract.
What does he want from the Nets is, I guess, my question here. Because he says the direction of the franchise. Well, what is it that he's not happy with? Is it that no one wanted to trade for Kyrie Irving? Because that was the thing.
Or is it that the Brooklyn Nets wouldn't want to give Kyrie Irving an extension? Because that's where it all started, was Kyrie saying, give me an extension or help me look for trade possibilities. And they're like, go look for trades. And the Lakers were the only ones with their hands up. And then Kevin Durant demanded a trade.
Right.
So also Kevin Durant's lack of, what's it called, transparency in this, where we don't know if it's because they won't trade Kyrie or they won't extend Kyrie. We have no idea which one it is with Kevin Durant.
It's also a lack of accountability. I mean, Sean Marks is the general manager, I guess, but did Durant not create this? I mean, is this not a terrible ripoff version of the Miami Heat with both Chris Bosh and LeBron going to Miami with Dwayne Wade? In Brooklyn, you have all of these guys. First, it was, of course, Durant and Kyrie Irving. And then on top of that, it's James Harden. They all converge in the same place. It's the same thing, except for it's just been an absolute disaster.
And if you're Joe Tsai, you're like, wait, so you're asking me to fire the coach you wanted me to hire?
Yeah.
Like, you're wanting me to fire the GM that, A, signed you and your friend, and then also signed DeAndre Jordan when nowhere else in the league would sign him. We already had a better center, Jared Allen, and then we traded him for your other friend, James Harden, who then, when Kyrie Irving didn't get the vaccine, he decided to dip out, and we traded him for Ben Simmons,
and
who also doesn't play.
Lines, the vaccine thing I completely forgot about until you just said it.
And then it's like, all this, it doesn't work out. We get swept by the eventual Eastern Conference champions, and now you want me to fire the GM and the coach, who basically you installed, or you dictated the moves,
right,
that they would make.
And what does that improve? I mean, who is the replacement going to be? Like, ultimately, the team is still very flawed. You just want to have more control over the thing that you clearly just completely trashed?
And I almost believe Kevin Durant needs to be a little bit more extreme in his ask, because I would believe that this is just a negotiating tool to basically say, trade me, or,
right,
and then give something that they won't do. Like, either do this crazy thing that you would never do, or trade me. And it's like, oh, I guess we're just going to trade you.
He thinks the mind games will work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I need help to keep track of all these mind games. My brain hurts just like trying to follow all of these things, because it's a ton of things. And I don't think Joe Tsai's a very good owner, but I mean, it's hard to not take Joe Tsai's side here with,
right,
the mess that these players seem to create.
You take Joe's side?
also,
news coming out of MLB, Red Sox starter Chris Sale broke his right wrist in a bike accident and underwent season-ending surgery Monday, the team announced.
What'd you get for riding a bike?
Jeff Passan, amid fractured rib cage, a broken pinky on a comebacker, and now this, Sale threw only 5.5 innings this season.
What are you doing riding a bike?
They say things happen in threes. So you had Joe Biden falling off his bike. You had John Lynch falling off his bike and not making it to Bryant Young's Hall of Fame induction. Now Chris Sale. What's going on?
It's a lot of
what's happening?
What is going on? What is happening? I'll tell you what's happening. Bikes are stupid. The thing that I get bothered by, so I was on my way here to from the Texans training camp earlier this morning, and I was driving on Buffalo Speedway, and I'm crossing the street. It's a green light. Bike just blows through the intersection, completely disobeying the rules. A couple of weeks ago, while I was driving into work, I saw two people eating it while riding their bike.
Yeah.
Neither of them wore helmets. The first guy clearly was concussed and like got up and was dizzy. And I almost felt like I should pull over and help him out.
I don't understand the no helmet thing.
I don't either. And I mean, look. These roads aren't great in Houston for people to ride a bike. And I get being mad about that. But you still have to obey traffic laws. And then don't even get me started on the terrorists known as Critical Mass Houston, who terrorize me and make me and my blood pressure go up while I'm driving my car by occupying the whole road.
That drives me nuts, and I've never seen any city other than this. I don't have a problem with people riding bikes, to your point, but... But be self-aware about where you do it. And the other thing is that
you don't
always need to own the road. Like, if you're a biker, be off to the side. Or go to Buffalo Bayou. Or any of the myriad of different places you can go. I know Houston's not as good as other places.
It's awful.
But there still are places. find them.
There's entitlement. It's everywhere. It was in St. Petersburg, Florida, when a person refused to slow down as my dog freaked out that a bike was coming near it so quickly. My dog almost got hit. I had to yank the leash out of the way. He was terrified. It was a bike that's going like 25 miles per hour on a sidewalk.
Dog.
Yeah, Grizzly. He's a little Yorkie poo. He's a cute little
guy. They don't know that he's a dog, Dad.
I see. That's true, Sean.
People don't know that I'm a... Yeah, people really don't know that.
And then in Seattle, too, it's the same thing. Like, it's... Look, I get it. It's different, but it's like you're just... It's like you're forgetting about physics.
I don't know that I buy this, too. If you're a pro athlete, get off the bikes and get off the snowboards. Get off anything that could ruin your career. Coming up on Vanessa and Galan, our NFL countdown continues. We're going to talk about somebody with another injury, a prominent quarterback. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Galant.
30 days. My, that sounds good. 30 days until the NFL season kicks off. And for that, we go to our jersey picker, Paul Galant.
Gotta be Terrell Davis of the Denver Broncos. The beginning of Terrell Davis's career is fascinating because this was a guy that was thought that he would not actually make the team when he first was a member of the Denver Broncos. That's because this was a guy that was not drafted. He came to the Denver Broncos. Check that. He wasn't drafted early. He was a sixth-round pick. I thought he was for some reason undrafted. So he's a sixth-round pick.
Later than I would have thought.
Right. Seriously. And sixth-round pick in 1996. And there's a preseason game that he played in Tokyo where he absolutely ruined somebody on a kick return. And that's how he continued to climb up the depth chart. In his rookie year, he started 14 games, 237 carries for 1,117 yards. And then in 1996... he signed a five-year deal, ran for 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns. The next year, 1,750 yards. The next year, 2,008 yards, and he was a big-time performer in Super Bowl 32 against the Green Bay Packers. So the guy was a damn good player, had migraines that ultimately messed up his career along with some knee injuries too. But he had a really unbelievable run in the late 90s.
That's
so Terrell
awesome.
Davis, everybody.
Number 30. All right. There is an injury concern possibly with the Saints. Quarterback Jameis Winston left practice early yesterday with a foot injury.
Mm.
He is, of course, already returning from tearing his ACL midway through the 2021 season. Guys, big deal, no big deal. I think anything with the quarterback, I'll just say on record right now, I said the same thing about Matthew Stafford. Anything with your starting QB is a big deal.
He's coming off a torn ACL. And this actually might be a landing spot for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think you got to be very sure about what's going on with Jameis Winston, and obviously we're not doctors, but sitting back, seeing that it's another leg injury after he's coming off of a major leg injury, this might be one of those operations where, hey, it makes sense to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo and make a trade, because Taysom Hill sure as bleep ain't the answer. I don't even know who the Saints' backup is officially anymore at quarterback. I just know that if it's not Jameis Winston, that it's going to be a long year. Saints did have a good start last season until Winston got hurt.
Their backup quarterback's Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton's still in the league.
Yeah.
Shout out to Andy Dalton for finally taking the role as a backup and embracing it. You can make really great money doing that. I know he tried to was hanging on for a while, but get your money. Okay, random question because ADHD. Is AJ McCarron on a roster right now?
That is a good
question. Do we know that? Because I know that he, for a while, was living that backup life as well.
I think that A.J. McCarron is somewhere.
Well, Bill O'Brien's no longer in the league, so I don't think so.
That's true.
He is
Bill
a free
O'Brien
agent.
Loved him some A.J. McCarron.
He is a free agent. Last year, he was on the Atlanta Falcons.
There you go.
You can't make the Falcons roster with their quarterback situation, then yeah, that's probably
He's got a hot wife and cute kids, so good for him. Would you guys like to see OBJ head to the Bills? Von Miller said, you know I'm lit. OBJ said, you been lit. At Von Miller, what's the locker next to you look like? I emoji, !!
Wow.
Von Miller, been open since I got here. Sunglasses emoji.
On God.
Waiting on you, brudda.
Bussin. For real.
No cap.
I think that the Bills should think about it. But I think right now with OBJ, it's a matter of, is he going to be healthy? I feel like he's a perfect midseason signing for some team. Does Buffalo really need him to go over the top when you have Stephon Diggs at wide receiver? You have a guy that no one's talking about after the playoff game that he had, Gabriel Davis, who caught four touchdown passes against the Chiefs in that game. I don't think that they need Odell Beckham Jr., and I feel like Odell Beckham Jr. would be asking for a lot to take his talents to Buffalo.
Yeah.
But I think OBJ is at the point where he's not going somewhere where they need, like, a number one receiver. I think he wants to, like Von Miller said, like, get another ring, ring chase another one while he's getting healthy, show some good stuff on a good offense, good team, and then try to get paid. Because that's what he did last year. That was the plan last year. He just tore his ACL in the Super Bowl.
I feel bad. He looked good in the Super Bowl.
He was nasty.
I thought he was on his way to winning the MVP, it seemed like, at
first.
Dead ass. And then, yeah, on God.
For real.
Yeah.
No cap. No cap, according to Ian Rappaport.
A random young kid told me on God in real life, non-ironically, on Saturday. At Texans training camp practice, I ran up to Vanessa to tell her this. Because I was like, someone
was
actually
excited.
Told me on God.
Was it at Texans training camp?
Yeah. It was at Texans training camp.
Bussin.
Yeah.
That's the Jack Easterby
effect. It truly was bussin. No cap, Baker Mayfield has the inside track to start over Sam Darnold. Here's Ian Rappaport on that situation.
Yeah, we'll talk about quarterback, because if you show up at Panthers camp and you're not talking about quarterbacks, even if you're talking about, let's say, future franchise left tackle Ikem Ekwonu or something fun like that, no, you got to talk about quarterback. And Mike, from our understanding, and you and I discussed this earlier today on Good Morning Football, thank you everybody for watching us, Baker Mayfield does have the inside track at the starting quarterback job here. Now, it is a competition. They are essentially splitting reps, and that is going to be the case probably through the preseason games. But this is very clear. Based on the kind of understanding he has of this offense, based on the kind of plays he can make and the kind of command he's already getting inside this locker room, it certainly does seem, Mike, like it is Baker Mayfield's job to win, as it should be. They just traded for him.
I thought if you're at camp, you're not going to be talking about Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold. You're going to be talking about whether or not you can survive in a Russian prison.
Yeah.
I'm honestly just waiting for Ian to acknowledge that again.
I think they're just going to do what a lot of NFL owners and a lot of people in the NFL do, is just pretend something didn't happen.
Okay, fair enough. Look, this isn't surprising. Baker Mayfield is going to win this job. I think that now it's pretty funny to see that there are rumors about a Sam Darnold trade. Who wants that? I mean, you would probably trade the bare minimum to get Darnold at this point, because he's $18 million in salary this coming season. And I guess Scott Fitterer, the GM of the Panthers, said, oh, don't worry about any of the rumors. We're fine. Yeah, because there can't be any rumors. Who the hell would want to trade for a guy on the last year of a contract worth $18 million? You would be trading a seventh-round pick in 2025. Like, that's the absolute dirt cheapest price that you can possibly trade for someone in the NFL right now. And I don't even know that I would do that.
No, I mean, I think it's like, well, yeah, Baker Mayfield has the starting power over Sam Darnold. And I know that there are games to be played here, agents to be pleased, but I don't think that's exactly breaking news. Baltimore Ravens, J.K. Dobbins is off the PUP list. This could be big for them and their offense, guys. Activated today. This is per Schefter, by the way. This is yesterday. Off the PUP list and on track to be ready for week one regular season opener. It was thought that he might not be available at the beginning of the season. Now it seems like he will be.
He was needed last year because the running game and Lamar Jackson, too. It's difficult to put it all on Lamar Jackson's shoulders when you have the amount of injuries that they just had at that position. I don't think Dobbins is like super special, but I think Dobbins is good. Dobbins is somebody that you want on your fantasy football team at the very least. So, yeah, that's good. That's good news for Baltimore. And, I mean, they continue to get healthier and healthier and healthier. And I think they are a team that has not been discussed a lot as far as an actual Super Bowl favorite this year. But, I think they are a team that should definitely be considered given how tough they played last year with all of those injuries that they were dealing with.
Justin Tucker had 2 years left on his career, but that didn't stop the Baltimore Ravens from extending the kicker to a four-year extension through 2027.
Is he the best kicker of all time? I mean, I love Adam Vinatieri. I know you love Adam Vinatieri.
Love him.
We both had little affairs with Adam Vinatieri. not like that. I mean, just, you know, like he played for the Colts, he played for the Patriots. But Tucker's the most accurate kicker of all time. He hit the longest field goal of all time. I mean, those are the only metrics that matter, right? Does it really matter what you do in big-time games, big-time spots?
Tom Curran tweeting, the Patriots' number one offense today has been distressingly bad.
I've
run
seen.
Stuffs, aborted plays, would-be sacks,
in the reports,
distressed lobs into traffic just to get ball out. Beginning to feel like it's less the new offense and more the post-scar cycle of OL coaches. They are perpetually overwhelmed.
Yeah. Texans' offense wasn't looking so good today either.
What if their defense is just awesome?
What'd you say?
What if their defense is just awesome?
That's what
Bill
I'm hoping.
Belichick is really coaching up that defense.
I've read some reports, and it's like the defense is just talking trash to the offense, and I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, it's like Seattle.
Because the defense sucked last year. So.
It's like Seattle back in the day when, was it Sherman?
Yeah.
Would go after Russ every practice.
Yeah.
Right.
Could be.
But this is like
the fifth report we've seen.
That's a historic defense, and that Patriots defense couldn't even force a punt against the Bills in the last game they played, so... I think there's a little bit of a difference between the two, as much as I hate to admit it.
Yeah, season right around the corner. All right, if you're looking forward to watching some football from your home, listen up, and I will get you better home insurance, and I'm going to do it in a really easy way. No hassle, thanks to TGS. They have a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get a full quote in just 15 seconds. So take out your phone. Text the word money, that's M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your home address. You just text it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. It sounds like a scam because it's too good to be true, but it's not. The company is legit. Their online rating is almost perfect, and their average customer from last year saves over $870. Again, I know you don't like to shop for it. I know that it's a hassle, but TGS Insurance makes it the easiest it's ever been. You're only one text away from big savings. Money. Text it to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
College football season right around the corner, and we're starting to get those preseason rankings, and that includes the first college football coaches poll. We're going to go with some of the local teams. A&M was the highest at number 7. Mm-hmm. OU led the Big 12 at number 9. Mm-hmm. Baylor was right behind them at 10. Oklahoma State, 11. Texas was 18th. Hook'em, Arkansas, 23. Ole Miss, 24. And UH was 25th.
But here's what's funny, Vanessa. Of all of those teams,
okay,
which program got a first place vote? Of all of those teams. Because guess what? One of those teams that we listed, none of which are higher than 7, got a vote as the number one team.
Maybe a Longhorn alum?
In all of college football. Ding, ding, ding. Someone voted for UT. The only other programs to get a vote for number one, Alabama.
Well, yeah.
Ohio State.
Sure.
The defending national champions, Georgia. And one person voted for Texas. Here's what's tricky. So Steve Sarkisian, head coach of UT, isn't a voter. And if you take a look at the coaches poll, there are 66 coaches that vote. Who the hell voted UT number one? We need to find this out.
Somebody who really believes in Arch Manning. But that wouldn't even make sense because he's not playing this
right. I don't understand who did it. I hope it's an epic troll job. I saw one theory is that Nick Saban, who does have a vote, is trying to make sure that his players are focused for UT week one. And maybe
I don't hate it.
UT the number one vote. That's the only thing that makes sense.
Nick
to
Saban
me.
Will be making a lot of appearances in our petty segment.
Also, the how the voting works out is that if you get a first place vote or a second place vote, it counts like so much more than getting a 25th place vote.
Really?
So Nick Saban, maybe just to goose the numbers a little bit, instead of Texas being ranked normally in the preseason every year, Texas is ranked like 21st-ish, 22nd-ish, and throw them a first place vote. Now they're 18. We're playing a top 20 team. We're going to a top 20 team in September. Better watch out.
Let's be honest. Should Texas be ranked, Sean?
No.
Exactly.
But they always are. Like, they could do anything. Win 1 year, the next year in the preseason poll, they will be ranked number 22nd.
They were so disappointing last year, and coaches are, let's be honest, not doing their complete due diligence on these rankings. We would like them to, but much like with the NFL top 100, it's going to be a flawed list for the most part.
Well, let's be honest. They will deserve to be, once this new class of recruiting comes in, like next year, because Sarkisian is doing work when it comes to recruiting.
Right.
So next year, I do think that there will be a case to be made for the fact that, you know, maybe they have a decent year this year. They're going to have some hot recruits. We know about Arch Manning. So next year it'll make sense. But yeah, number one, this vote, I don't understand.
The coaches poll and even the AP poll in the preseason, you go with, like, you know, Georgia, Alabama, all the teams that, like, can actually win the national championship. Then once you get past, like, 10, it's like, let's throw Miami in there. Let's throw, like, any of the, like, just the logos that look good on a top 25 board. Like, that's just how they fill out the bracket. Right. Like, they don't go like, you know what? I've been hearing a lot of good things about Boise's spring practice. I mean, you know what? Fresno's got a kid that you got to watch out for. Texas, sure. They should be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Only the Aggies of any program that we listed should have gotten a first place vote. And even then, I think a lot of Aggies would be like, yeah, like, we're probably like 8-4, we're probably 9-3. Like,
I think Aggie fans are more realistic than UT fans.
I actually agree with you on that front.
And I'm not from here, so that is just from covering sports here for 3 years. I will say, like, when the Aggies lose, Aggie fans are like, well, we sucked, to where UT's like, but.
I think also.
Not Sean, of course, though, because I love Sean.
UT unplugs completely. Too. There are a lot of UT fans that are just like, screw this.
Oh, that
yeah, I think they get so mad about it. Like, I do know two UT fans who I'm scared to watch games with, and I would never say that about any Aggie. Like, I've never been scared watching an Aggie. More just creeped out by all the chants and stuff. But
yeah,
they're fun, and they're all
men
very polite.
Tan suits.
Right. I just know I never troll my friends when they're watching their college football. I never would do that. But I do think that there is, as you said, a little bit more realism and a little bit more dedication from the Aggie side of things. Sorry to all the UT people out there, but I bet you agree with that as well.
Guys, rest in peace to Shasta 6.
Oh, little kitty.
This is sad. A University of Houston's live mascot who made the home at the Houston Zoo passed away. So I'm guessing they'll get another live mascot.
Yeah, I guess he had like a spinal issue or something like
that.
I actually read up on the history of it. Like, so they brought him in because his mother, excuse me, he and his two brothers were rescued in Washington State.
Aww.
After his mother was illegally killed by a hunter.
Okay, that's very sad.
It's also kind of cool that it's a cougar from Washington State. I did not actually know that because I know Washington State played the...
Yeah.
They're the Cougars as well. They played UH
a
couple of years... They played... it's weird too. They do the exact same thing too. It's go Cougs.
We have a call. Carlos would like to talk about UT fans versus A&M fans.
I love
Carlos,
it.
Hello.
Hello.
Y'all
were talking about the whole Longhorn delusional fan. I guess I see the opposite because I work in an industry where there's a ton of Aggies, and on God, that's for you there.
Hell yeah.
On God.
We love it. We love it.
On God, they have the biggest little brother syndrome I have ever been around. I mean, constantly. But that's me. I mean, I know, Vanessa, you said, you know, you're not in tune, I guess, with the whole rivalry thing, but it's just so crazy how little brother A&M fan is. And like I said, I deal with an industry where they're all IDs from Texas A&M. Mm. So I guess I get the opposite of it all day long here in my office and, you know, out with in my industry. So that's my take on it. But, you know, if all these schools y'all mentioned, I think UH probably has the best record out of all of them anyway. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised by that at the end of the day. To go back to what Carlos was saying, the little brother syndrome, it's definitely there. They respond a lot more hostily to you criticizing them because I feel like they take a little ownership of it. It's like you're criticizing their kids.
A&M, like they take more ownership of...
Yeah. There have been a couple of times where I've brought it up, and my friends are like, Paul doesn't know anything about college football. And I'm like, all I'm doing is observing from afar.
UT fans are more likely to throw a beer bottle at you. A&M fans are more likely to yell at you verbally.
That's like Texas Tech.
Yeah, no, Texas Tech are my guys.
Texas Tech
are my people.
All of the above.
Texas Tech and Texas State people, where my alcoholics at, that's where I live. That's where I roll.
Yes, they're
they're my fun people.
The key is that Texas A&M, their fans are called the 12th man, which means their fanhood is based on we could be out there. That is our team. We are part of the team.
Oh.
Where Texas fans are like, these guys are letting us down.
Yeah, that's a really
good
distinction.
We're paying too much for this.
Yes.
Do you have Longhorn friends that you can't watch games with, like guys you went to school with, because it's like literally too intense?
No. We're all like very nihilist about
even keeled.
Pessimistic. Actively pessimistic about it. Because
I wish my best friend would be pessimistic
about
it.
That's how Paul is about life.
How old is your best friend, if you don't mind me asking?
He's 36, 37 years old.
Yes, so he vividly remembers, if not was at school at the Vince Young day.
Yeah, he was there for that. Yes.
Yeah.
So he's seen the mountaintop.
Yes.
It's hard to
that would be hard.
It.
Everyone my age.
It's been 20 years.
I was 9 years old when Vince Young scored. Or no, maybe even younger.
So you're more realistic. Was like my dad and his friends were at Indiana State when Larry Bird was there. So they always thought at some point
they could come back.
They're going to come back. And it's like that.
No, that was never happening again.
Love you, but that was a one-time deal, my guy.
Yeah, what an incredible time to be there.
Oh, they had so much fun. Steve Alford was at IU. This is a good time.
Unless an NBA legend is also just born right outside Indiana State's campus, it won't happen.
And by the
even
way,
then he wouldn't go there.
I mean, yeah, because Larry Bird was supposed to go to Indiana, and he thought Bob Knight was a jackass.
Correct.
He went
to community college, then ended up at Indiana State. Mm-hmm. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, speaking of A&M, we're going to hear from Jimbo Fisher and what he had to say about one of the Texans' new acquisitions. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.